From Genesis to the ancient books of Jubilees and Jasher, the story of Abraham still calls us today. Join host David Paxton for our weekly comprehensive Bible study, God's Call and Covenant, A Journey of Faith.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Last Christian. We're on our Bible study show, and we're still talking about Abram, and now it's going to become Abraham today. But I think we might veer off a little bit today. Some wacky stuff going on that I want to address. But Joel, are you there?
I am here, David.
Oh,
and,
terrific.
And believe it or not, the everything, we're systems good at this
point.
Oh,
look at that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's have a system prayer and pray us into our show.
Okay. Father, we do come to you today, and we ask very humbly that David is able to prepare this show, and I know he's put a lot of work into it, that he gives that teaching that will reach deep into someone's heart and spur them to accept you as Lord and Savior. Father, we look forward to being with you, but we want to take as many with us as we possibly can, and we hope that this show will serve as someone's guide to allow the Holy Spirit to come in to their heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'm sure you guys are all aware of the Raptorpalooza that was going on the past few days here, RapCon 1, and that's all well and good. I actually love that, looking out for the Lord. And, you know, if he doesn't show up, then we'll look again tomorrow.
Right.
And it just reminds me of, you know, like when I was a kid, and then also yesterday, because I'm still a kid, where, you know, if you're expecting, like, let's say your father's coming home and you're all excited, or someone's coming to visit you, and you're looking down the street to see if the headlights are coming.
Right.
Hey, can I see their car? Oh, there's some headlights. Oh, it's not that car. Okay. Oh, there's some more headlights. No, that's a pickup truck. And you're looking out, and that's kind of where we are with the, you know, the return of Jesus for his bride, what we call the rapture today. And because of this, there's been a lot of, a lot of mockery online. Now, simply because everyone insisted that it was going to be today, I kind of figured it wouldn't be.
I knew it wouldn't be. If they're going to call a specific day and time, no, that's not it.
Yeah, that's not it. And it's not because it does nothing else other than it's an idiom for the feast day that's coming. And you really don't know until it happens. And that's by design. But here's the thing. It is by design because God wants you to look out every moment of every day for the return of his son and to be anxious for it. So when all these people get online and I got the gazillion Facebook friends, some of them started like laughing and poo-pooing and mocking the rapture. And, you know, oh, there it is again. See, I told you the rapture is not in the Bible. No, this wasn't that day. And you can't dismiss a solid doctrine just because someone misinterprets it. Like, we dispelled a lot of myths about the rapture. Like, you don't just instantly vanish and things like that. And one of them is, you know, you can't know the day or the hour. It doesn't mean exactly that. It's actually an idiom that points to Yom Teruah, the day of blowing trumpets. As is, he comes as a thief in the night. It's the same idiom that's used for that the holiday. They would have known what he was talking about, is my point. But here they are mocking. So I just started the question. I was like, why wouldn't you be looking out for him? If you love Jesus like you say you do, and you're into the word, and you know all this stuff, and you're super smart, why aren't you looking for him?
Yeah.
You know, like us, we're looking, and it's like, it's probably not that day because everyone's saying it, but we're still looking.
Right.
You know, we're still ready, you know, just in case, you know, maybe it is that day.
Hoping.
Yeah, and hoping.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and so anyone that says, you know, oh, no, that's not that, or we're going to go through the tribulation, then if you're going to go through the tribulation, that's clearly then he's not coming today. Because we're not in the tribulation yet. So you're not going to be looking out for him. And that completely dispels any of the mandates that Jesus gave us. He said, right. I want you to watch. Yeah. And watch and daily, and you work until I come back. Don't watch so much that you're not doing nothing.
Right.
But I want you to watch every day. Stay go to work occupied. And then look up.
Yeah, and it stay occupied or something like that. I can't.
Yeah,
occupy until I come. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But we're still encouraged to look out. And then even Paul talks about encouraging one another with these words. Well, how is it encouraging? Yeah, the Antichrist is going to come. He's going to cut your head off and burn the entire earth down and scorch it. So encourage everybody with those words.
Yeah.
No. We encourage everybody with the return of Christ.
Right.
That so we count ourselves worthy to escape these things.
Right. Exactly.
And so is it a escape? You know, escape mentality? Yes, because that's what the Bible says, you're worthy to escape these things.
Yeah.
But then you have some on the other side of this, it's like a different position, but they're kind of NAR, and they think that the church was here, it replaced Israel, and then, you know, here we're here to take over, and then the rapture is not coming. So you got that end. Of the people as well, and it's like, no, we didn't replace Israel. They're two different people groups.
Yeah.
So, but then you have the Messianic Jews, which I love, but they just don't understand the rapture at all. They see everything as, you know, through the eyes of like Matthew 24 and the disciples before the Book of Acts, where everything is still Hebrew centric, you know, maybe they will, you know, go through the tribulation because they are Jews and they're going to be, a good, you know, maybe they're part of the tribulation saints, because it's clear there are saints, people that are saved during the tribulation, and from appearances, probably more than we're saving now. And it's probably because of catastrophic events similar to what happened with Charlie Kirk this past 10 days, I guess now. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, David, real quick, because we've talked about this a little bit off air, but I want to address it because it continues to come up about this, and you just mentioned it. The fact that there's no new covenant or whatever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at Genesis, okay, replacement theology is what you were talking about. But
right.
if you look at Genesis, and I am looking here in Genesis chapter 17, verse 7. And it says, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Now, how long is everlasting?
After forever, I think it continues on forever.
Right. So, I mean, anybody that's saying that this is replaced, God said this in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 17, in verse 7. Okay. Now, he actually even goes on he repeats it again. And verse 8. This is just two verses later. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land whereunto thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. So anybody that wants to say that, that we replace, you're calling God a liar.
Yeah.
Okay. So if he lies about this everlasting covenant, then he calls everlasting life into question. Mm-hmm. And so you're calling him a liar twice. I would suggest you hit your knees and immediately apologize and ask for forgiveness. That's my suggestion to anybody that wants to take that stance. What do you say, David?
Yeah, 100%. And if he's going to go back on his covenant with Abraham and thy seed after thee for mm-hmm. the generations as an everlasting covenant. If he is going to break that one, then he could just as easily break the one you have with Jesus, and mm-hmm. there goes your salvation.
There you go.
And he'd be like, oh, well, you took that rubber band from work, so you're out. Done. Mm-hmm. You're going to hell.
It's insane. Anybody that takes that position, they simply need to read the Bible, and they need to understand it. And one thing that I have noticed, though, is that the people that come up with that, they don't believe in reading the Old Testament. That's a problem.
Yeah, and there's they believe that is only for Israel too, but we're replacing Israel. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand a couple of things. We're going to get into this really deep because it has to do with Abram and Abraham, mm-hmm. depending on which part of Genesis you read. the Old Testament is a foretelling of the contract that was coming with Christ.
Amen.
And would give types and patterns and say, hey, this has to be done in order for any of this salvation to come. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he lays it all out. He laid it out in the stars at first, and then he laid it out thousands of years later, a couple mm-hmm. thousand years later, with Moses. Okay, hey, mm-hmm. this is the covenant. This is how it works. And then a couple thousand years after that, okay, that's fulfilled. Now it's not dismissed, right, if you would. Mm-hmm. It's fulfilled. So it turned paid in full. So we no longer are subject to that, but it's the one that brought us to the contract that we have,
amen,
which is in Christ, mm-hmm. where he yeah. pays for all of our sins and everything. Mm-hmm. But the contract that we have is defined by the previous contract. Oh, he did this. He fulfilled that contract, therefore this. So if you completely dismiss the old contract, well, what is he fulfilling? Mm-hmm. You know, and if you don't have any reference, you don't have any point of view from where this came from, yeah, it was the blood of animals was done as a foreshadowing, but now it says the Christ will come and his blood is that final sacrifice.
Right.
But if you don't understand the previous sacrifices, then you don't understand what his sacrifice means.
Amen.
So you need the Old Testament, as we call it, for reference. And then there's a lot more in there too. It's establishing creation. Mm-hmm. So you can see, okay, he laid out the universe and this is how he laid it out. These are the rules, you know, and there's a lot of rules that are, both, you know, thou shalt not kill. That kind of goes to both of them, you know.
Right.
So it's not like all of a sudden, well, he fulfilled the Old Testament and he got rid of it, so now I could go kill people. No, that's not how it works. There are some foundational rules and foundational things, but they're fulfilled, not cleaned up, like gone, not thrown out, let's say.
Right.
All right. But what'll happen is you'll hear people like Tucker Carlson and Candy.
Yeah, Owen.
Yeah, I was gonna say something, but this is a family show. So Candace Owens, and you know, and then you see Kirk Cameron was on there, and you see there's a handful of them, and they're like, "Oh, that we replaced, you know, the Jews." And they'll say stuff like this, like, oh, that promise, I will bless those that bless you. Oh, well, that was given to Abraham, and but not to the Jews as a nation. I'm like, where did you come up with that idea? It seems like all of a sudden one guy said it and they all latched onto it.
Right.
I don't know where they got it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, even for years when people were replacement theologists before, I've never heard that. What do you mean it's just for Abraham? Where did you get that idea? It's not. So I wanted to take a look at that since we're talking about Abraham again today. Mm-hmm. And well, let me see. Let's go right where we're actually in Genesis 12.
Okay.
And it says, you know, starting at verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee. Mm-hmm. And I will make of thee a great nation. So who's he talking about?
He's talking about a great nation, and the great nation has got to be Israel, but, you know, go ahead.
So I make of thee a great nation. So here, the whole context is a great nation. And mm-hmm. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty clear the nation's going to be a blessing.
Right.
And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Amen.
So Abraham departed. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're going to say, oh, this was just for Abraham. But clearly the whole context is the nation.
Right. Otherwise, okay, it wouldn't mention nation. What would be the point of mentioning nation unless
exactly
it referred to the nation?
All right. And then there's other issues as well that come up. Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, that means, you know, all of Abraham's offspring. Well, no, not necessarily, because Isaac was the only one that was came out of a miracle of promise,
right,
when Sarah was old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it wasn't from his next wife, Keturah, because she just had them naturally.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that was a supernatural miracle, the only begotten son, as he calls it, was Isaac.
Right.
And now, so we further fine-tune that blessing to Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
You know where that is, right? Genesis 27.
27, yeah. I forgot.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then... So it goes here in, all right, so just to give you context, 27:26, okay, chapter 27, verse 26, and his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. And he said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Mm-hmm. So who's he talking to? He's talking to Jacob, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Isaac has the blessing, mm-hmm, okay, because he got it from Abraham.
Right.
Now he's going to pass it down to his son. But is it the firstborn son? No, it's the secondborn son. Just like, yeah, Adam. No, no, the next one.
Yeah, because we're talking about Esau, right? We're getting,
yeah,
into Esau. Yeah, okay.
And Father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came and kissed him, and he smelt the smell of his raiment, and he blessed him, saying, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the plenty of corn and wine. Let the peoples serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this was by God's design, not given to Esau, but given to Jacob,
right,
like specifically,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like it specifically says, no, he thought he was Esau and he thought he was doing it to the firstborn son. And it's the one he liked better. But his mother's like, nah, not going to happen. Typical Jewish,
yeah,
mother.
Yeah.
You know, the Jewish mother, she goes to the movies and says, is there a doctor in the house? Is there a doctor in the house? And then the young man stands up and says, I'm a doctor. She says, boy, have I got a wife for you.
I love it. Love it. I love
so
it.
So this is his mom, you know. Isaac and Rebecca. So the typical Jewish mom, that's where they get it. They're going to make things happen. So, and so here we are. Jacob got the blessing. Curse, mm-hmm, those who curse you. Bless those who bless you. You can't argue with that.
No.
Because that was Jacob going down, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now let's look at some other stuff too.
Okay.
Let me see. Bring up my treasury of scripture knowledge here.
Y'all are going to have to bear with me because I'm doing it. I'm doing it the old-fashioned way. I got my actual.
Oh, you got paper.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what I found? If we're out gallivanting this weekend, and it was, mm-hmm, an old Methodist church. And they were just giving some books away. They're like, they got a thrift store. Everything's like a nickel or a dime, you know? And it's like, hey, yeah, all these religious books are free. So I found some really cool stuff, like,
wow,
a children's,
okay,
big old, yeah, picture Bible. And then I found Charles Stanley, whom I like, a couple of, mm-hmm, books from him. Mm-hmm. And I found one of them was, well, a giant white, you know, giant print in a white Bible, mm-hmm, about this big with giant, mm-hmm, print. I was like, I can read that one.
That's kind of what I do. That's about the size I
got. The giant print, super giant, ultra mega print. But we found a Masonic Bible.
Oh, okay.
And it was a King James Version, but in the front, you know, like the Gideons have stuff they put in the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was from the Masons.
Oh, wow.
And it turned out it was given to some dude. I'm not going to say his name. But it was given to him in 1947. Hey, we now indoctrinate you into the Masons, and you're great. Mm-hmm. Here's a Bible.
Yeah.
And it's got all the dates and everything there. It's like, oh, it's really cool. I have to get the demons off of it before we read it. But, we'll just check it out.
Yeah.
It's like, that's interesting. A little bit of history from 1947. Thought I'd throw that in.
That's cool.
So seeing that Abraham in Genesis 18:18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become great and mighty nation, again, nation,
mm-hmm.
all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. Let me see here. And then 22:18, it says, in thy seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed.
Yeah.
Because thou hast obeyed my voice. So here we are, is talking about the nation again, and not just Abraham
mm-hmm.
in his
mm-hmm.
seed. All right. Then you go, Genesis 26:4. And it says, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thee, unto thy seed, these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So there's an awful lot of this blessing going on.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we get to 28:14, because we were just in 27, right? And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And now shall be spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I wanted to compare those two. So we did see the blessing was passed along to Yaakov or Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
So it was specific. Mm-hmm. And it every single verse talks about thy seed and their great nation.
Right.
So, you know, to say that, oh, that was just for Abraham is ridiculous.
I agree.
Okay? Because he got old and died. So what, that's it? It's over? Oh, it's just Abraham. And then why are you even talking about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, why even talk about it? It's because it was a promise that God will not go back on. But I wanted to compare the last two verses.
Okay.
This one says, shall be as the dust of the earth, correct? Mm-hmm.
Right.
And there's another one that says, like, sandwiches on the seashore.
Well, no, but...
No, the sand, which is on the seashore.
There you
That's
go.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Not sandwiches. I got to open a restaurant called Sandwiches on the Seashore. I like it. I think it'll go big down in Coney Island over here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you make it a Jewish place. It will be like Ben's Best, you know? So dust of the earth, but we just read in 26:4, it says as the stars, right?
Stars, yeah.
I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you a question, Joel.
Okay.
You think Abraham was pretty smart?
I would think he was very smart, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think he understood how many stars there were?
I think he understood that it was impossible to count the number of stars that there were.
Yeah. So do you think it was necessary to tell him, look, it'll be like the sand as well?
No. I think he probably already figured things out, but I do think that there
is probably
figured
that out.
Yeah, I do think that there is a significance between the two, if that's where you're going.
It is. Now, if it's weird, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he tell him the stars and then have to turn around and tell him the sand, as if he didn't understand that the sand was a lot and that, okay, now look at the stars.
Uh-huh.
It's because we are called this Abraham's seed in the New Testament.
Amen.
But do we replace Israel? No, it doesn't say that.
Mm-mm. Never.
It doesn't say that, because he will still bless them, because we have two different origins, two different missions, two different goals, two different destinations. Mm-hmm. Israel will rule from Jerusalem over the earth. We will rule from the heavenlies as Christians with Jesus in the temple, basically. We will rule and reign with him. And that's what it is. And that's why he says this. The stars of the heaven is one seed. He says, your seed's going to be like the stars, and your seed's going to be like the sand. So, yeah, the physical Jews, if they have not received Jesus and repent at the, you know, the during the tribulation, then they will be the ones who, and all the Old Testament Jews, because that was before Christ,
right,
they will be the ones that rule, like, you know, on the throne of David. Right. We will rule in the heavenlies with him. And so there's the heavenly body, the bride of Christ, and then the earthly body. Okay. And there's two different ones, and people don't recognize that. Right. They're more than happy with, oh, the cherubim and the seraphim, and they're all different types of angels, but don't understand that there's different ranks of human beings as well. Right. And that's borne out because they said John the Baptist was the greatest man ever, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he is. Mm. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means there's Old Testament saints versus the bride of Christ. And John the Baptist even says, hey, I'm the bridegroom. Mm-hmm. I'm the friend of the bridegroom. Basically, he said, I'm the best man.
Right, exactly. You know,
John the Baptist mm-hmm. is the best man, and he's going to marry all these new folks coming in. So he got some inkling of what was coming.
Yeah.
But he was definitely the best man and not the bride. Mm-hmm. And the bride holds a much higher position. Amen. If you would, yeah. It's married to the groom. So that's pretty interesting. Let me see here.
David, I want to get in here before the first half ends, is mm-hmm. that, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, Israel's departed so much, you know, they're out there so bad. Well, mm-hmm. if you look back at the Bible, look at the number of times that God punished them. And do you think, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, he kicked them out so many times and kicked them to the curb, and, you know, and every time that they came back and they repented, and he was right there every time.
Yep.
And that's the promise going forward, is when they call for him again and recognize Jesus as the true Messiah. Well, that's it. You know, victory, victory is here. I just wanted to get that in before the first half ended.
Nice. That actually talks about, basically it's 70 times 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's actually a scripture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because he says, I've forgiven you. And it bears out in the 70 years that he's done for people. but if people think, oh, it's 490 times, there's this and that, it's like, no. Nah. But we'll talk about that more in the second half. We're out of time.
Right.
Yeah. So in the meantime, if we do get raptured between the shows, you make sure that you're on Jesus' side, and he loves you, and he's coming to get you. So we give him all the glory. We'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. For every broadcast and message, we rely on you to keep this mission alive. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net, where every fully tax-deductible gift matters. Or you can help by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book. And now, through our partnership with the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies, you can register for courses that take you deeper into the Word of God. Students save 30% on individual classes and 45% on group courses. Remember, every donation or purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. So visit lastchristian.net today. Stand and pray with us and support the mission.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality, what the mainstream refuses to acknowledge and the church too often fears to confront? Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time. From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies to current day phenomena, if you think it's just conspiracy, think again. Tune in nightly at 10 p.m. Central to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.
And guess what? We're back.
Yes, we are.
So, yeah, with I think with the 2 minutes of commercials, what were we talking about?
Well, we're getting into the covenant pretty good, you know. But I mean, I have done a lot of study on this, and I'm ready to go back a little bit actually, pick up on some stuff here. So I'm just going to throw these out because you know we got I think we've covered on what you wanted to get the main point that you wanted to make today.
Well, the main point is Israel is a separate entity than the church,
right?
As far as a body goes, and the tribulation saints will be another separate entity. And then, you know, think about this. We go into another age, the millennium. Mm-hmm. So what are those people that are saved going to be? You know, is that going to be the bride? No.
That one still got me. I don't know how in the world that works.
Just like the disciples in chapter 24 of Matthew had no idea this church thing was coming. They didn't have any clue. They didn't even suspect anything like this. What? We're different? We're going to have a whole different group of people that are there that are saved, and they're going to have a different role in the eternal kingdom as well.
Yeah, and we have no idea what that is.
And don't have any idea what it is.
Yeah, it's not presented. Okay, I want to back up. Okay, let's go.
Right.
Okay, because what I've got here, David, and this is something that I've just kind of put together today, really.
Fabulous.
Okay, this is Isaac versus Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Ishmael was honestly the firstborn of...
technically.
Yeah, technically. Of Abram, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in reading the Bible, I see where Sarai, who later becomes Sarah, kicks this Hagar out along with Ishmael. And so my initial thing was, exactly why did she kick him out when she's the one that initiated it? So
again, goes to the Jewish
I had to go. So now again, I'm going to a Bible reference here. I'm not going to the Bible. I'm going to a Bible reference, and that's Jasher. And if you read in Jasher, because I'm trying to figure out how come, you know, what's the deal? How come he got thrown out? So I'm going to put this up here real quick because I created this. So, you know, I'm taking credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you look at Isaac's birth. Okay, he's born when Abraham is 100 years old, Sarah's 90. Look over here at Jasher. It's got the same thing. Okay, but now, supposedly, Ishmael is 14 years old when this kid's born. But now the Bible doesn't really go into why. It just says, you know, cast out bondwoman or son. But if you look over at Jasher explains that this mocking is actually that Ishmael took a bow and arrow and tried to shoot Isaac with it, pretending it was play. So, you know, it was a genuine attempt to harm or even kill him. So this kind of explains it. Now, you know, again, Jasher is not, you know, it's not canon, but it sure makes a lot more sense than, you know, it just all of a sudden, okay, get out. So what do you what do you think about that? I mean, does that even matter? I mean,
well, you got to remember, like, just as an example, when Jesus and the disciples are talking, they expect the writers and all the New Testament writers, they expect everybody to understand certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when Paul says, oh, just like Jannes and Jambres. And you're like, who? they expect you to know certain things.
Uh-huh.
And those were those were the magicians when Moses was there, you know, the snake thing.
Mm-hmm.
But all of this was written with that. And if if the Bible were to include every last thing, it would be huge.
Okay. Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to carry it around. So what it does, it condenses it into a fine-tuned focus of what you need to know.
Right.
And there's an expectation that you would know all the peripheral stories that go with it.
Okay.
Just because there's just not enough room to fit everything. And I think John even talks about that. If I wrote everything he did, I'd use up the oceans with ink.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of writing, I think.
Yeah.
To have an ocean full of ink. Mm-hmm. So all this other stuff in the Ezra Apocalypse, it's called the second Esdras. It specifically says that. It says these books are the necessary books, and here's a bunch here. He doesn't list them. He just said this, and you're expected to know what set that is too. Mm-hmm. Here's the essential books, and here's another set of books for those who want to seek more learning and wisdom. Mm-hmm. So this is where we are with all these extra books, as we're seeking extra insight and wisdom as to all of the stories in the Bible. The problem, if I could say that, comes with mistranslations along the way. Like the numbers are different, but that's because they used letters for numbers back then. So a lot of them got, you know, skewed, even like with the Septuagint and stuff. So sometimes the numbers are off. Sometimes people add things into those stories. Now, God protected the canon. So that is pure.
Right.
But some of these other books have the possibility of not being exactly perfect, but they still offer the insight, and for the most part are good insights to the story. As an example, you know, the Book of Enoch is great, but I think, you know, it adds a couple of other books at the end, like the Book of Noah. It's like, what's that doing in here? That was the Book of Enoch. Well, they kind of put them all together and just shoved them, and they called it First Enoch. But you'll see differences there, and then in the different writings and such, but that's it. You know, so we look at these things for insight. Now, if that makes a lot of sense, that would make sense if Ishmael is, you know, a brawler, like the Bible says.
Right. That's the reason that I bought into this. That's the whole reason I bought into it, because he said that he would always be a brawler or whatever, and everybody be brawling with him. I mean, you know, there's that double popping in.
Sarah's like, I ain't having this.
Kicked him out, you know. Now, again, this is, it's repeated at least twice in the Bible, maybe more, you'll know. But this is the first instance where God chose number two, technically, okay? Mm-hmm. Technically, he's picking number two over number one. Number one is, if I research this correctly.
Now, I would beg to differ.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
You got Cain and Abel.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about them.
Abel was killed, and then they brought up Seth.
Yeah, I forgot about them. But, you know, Ishmael is like 14, if I calculated this right. 14
Correct.
Years old. And so, I mean, he's obviously going to be ticked off that he's not number one, because I'm sure he's always called Abram, dad, or whatever they called him back then, right? So he's going to say, hey, I should be it. Well, this happens again with Esau, right?
Mm-hmm. It's the same story.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same story all over again. But now here's my big question, though, because the Islamic faith, don't they trace everything back to what's his name?
Esau, or sometimes Ishmael.
Ishmael. Yeah. Don't they trace everything back to Ishmael?
They do. They kind of use both. It's actually mixed, because Edom kind of mixed in with, the tribes of Ishmael, and also the sons of Keturah. They kind of all mixed together. And that's why they're called Arab, because that word actually means mixed.
Well, my point, David, is that, they should know, you know, if they're following things this far in the Bible, they should know that the blessing did not go to Ishmael.
Well, they know it. They just don't want to admit it.
Okay.
It's kind of like an atheist. They know God exists, but they don't want to admit it.
Okay.
And so here we are, but they're types and patterns as well. because mm-hmm. every single one of those, Adam was the first man, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
And then he kind of messed everything up, so he had to have the last Adam.
Right.
So that's in 1 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 15. And we'll start at verse 45. It says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven." Okay. So he is the last Adam. And all these types and patterns are showing us that. That's why we need the Old Testament, because we see, okay, the first man was killed, Abel, but then they replaced him with Seth, mm-hmm. you know, and now we see, okay, Ishmael got, you know, said, "I'm going to give you a kid," and then they tried it themselves. And he was impatient, and they had it of their own accord. So if it was of Abraham's work, how can God bless it? Yeah. He can't. So the second one becomes his only begotten son. And that's Isaac.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. Just something popped mm-hmm. in my mind real quick. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but without the Old Testament, wouldn't a lot of the New Testament make no sense whatsoever?
It would make any sense. It's like, yeah. what are we New Testament thingies, you know?
Okay.
What are we fulfilling here?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, well, it just doesn't exist. Well, then what did you fulfill? It's kind of like, you know, forgiving people. Okay. Right. And confessing. If you don't confess your sins, it's like, okay, well, what am I forgiving? You have to confess your sins. It's the same kind of principle, if you would.
Yeah.
You have to have this. Even though it's fulfilled, you still have to have it for the reference. Well, what did he fulfill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there is still a lot of the Old Testament that remains unfulfilled right now, just to point that out real quick.
Yeah. There's Daniel chapter 9, that 70th week, and then all of the prophecies about the millennium. Right. Are not fulfilled yet. You know, just the Messiah part is, and when he comes back to rule and reign, then the millennial reign part will be. And that's when Jesus, remember, he stopped in the middle of the sentence. That was cool. They're like, but where's the rest of the sentence? Don't worry about it. I'll tell you later. But they're all types and patterns. All types and patterns of how the first one was earthy, the second one is from heaven, and Isaac was clearly from heaven,
right?
Because it was the miracle that neither one of them could have kids, right? Yet there they are, they had kids.
So now
every last descendant of Isaac will know that they're a special miracle from God. Pretty powerful.
It is. And, you know, again, I just don't understand how people can dismiss the Old Testament. I also don't understand how they think that everlasting doesn't mean everlasting. Those are the two that really get to me, especially the, you know, I don't, you know, we've replaced them. Where does it say that? Where does it say it?
I think it comes also from an understanding of the divine counsel. When we look at Psalm 82, and then we hear things like the Prince of Egypt, that's a movie, the Prince of Persia, and then the Prince of Greece, and all these stuff. But there probably is a Prince of Egypt, too, but it was a movie. We see that there was dominions, the principalities and powers that Paul speaks about. They are all over all the nations, and the Lord's portion was the Jews and Jerusalem. And this, you know, and all of Israel. And if they had accepted him, then he says, okay, I'm going to take my portion, and that, you know, the rest of it is God. The only way that Jesus could take over the whole earth and all the other portions is if Israel rejected him. Now it basically gives him jurisdiction over all the other divine counsel, and because he is the Most High God, and they basically say, you know, he's like, here, take this. And they're like, nope. I said, okay, great. I'm going to give it to everybody, but I'll be back. And you'll see all the, there's different prophets. Who was the one who married a hooker? You know, and he had
kids. I don't remember.
And he's like, that's because you guys are like a hooker.
Yeah.
So, But he took them back, and he commanded the prophet to keep that wife, mm-hmm. because he was going to keep Israel in the end, and then eventually she'll repent.
Yeah.
And in the end, it during that 7-year tribulation, as we call it, it's Israel will repent as a nation. The yeah. one third that's left, because two
the
thirds
the one third
will
that's
be
left. Yeah, that's yeah. the yeah. And if you happen to be Jewish, and we do have an Israeli audience, so you know, if you happen to be Jewish, I still say, you know, read the whole book. Don't skip over it. You know, don't skip over what your don't skip over what your priest or whatever you call him wants to skip.
Rabbi.
Over. Yeah,
pretty rabbi. Fly for a rabbi.
David, I got one more crazy question for you today.
Okay. One, just one.
Yeah, just one. And this goes way back. Okay, this we're back in Genesis 13, just to let you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, now Lot's gone through a lot. Okay, Abram's mm-hmm. gone through a lot, but Abram went and he rescued Lot, correct?
He sure did.
Okay, so now then, after that, they both have. I mean, they're both rich. They both got a whole bunch of people that follow them. Herdsmen, mm-hmm. I think is what they call them. Mm-hmm. And so finally they get to this one area, and Egypt has a famine. Mm-hmm. Or this area has a famine anyway. And so now Abram says, I don't want any problems with you. Okay. We're brothers basically. I don't want any problems with you. So if you go left, I'll go right. And if I go right, you go left, but we gotta separate. Now that's in Genesis chapter 13. But, what I've got here is Genesis 13:10. And I didn't write down the entire scripture, but I want you to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Genesis 13:10, where Lot decides, he looks at everything and he says, wow, Jordan looks like it's a pretty cool place. You know, it's got mm-hmm. lots of water, everything's in shape. So he takes that, right? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't, at this point, the way I'm reading it is he's all about him. He's not taking Abram into consideration at all. Now, maybe I'm misreading that, but that's how I'm reading it. And my question then becomes, he ends up in Sodom, right? Mm-hmm. So is Lot being punished for making that decision without at least some kind of consideration with Abram? Does that make sense? I mean, I gave you a whole bunch there at one time. I know.
You got to remember Haran from last week. Haran was his father. And it was, I think Abraham's fire actually caused the death of Haran. So I think he felt like he owed it to him. Mm. Okay, and I know Lot was doing that. So if you have an uncle-nephew relationship, you know, it's not like they're, you know, friends where they'll say, hey, you know what, I want to give you the best. He would understand, okay, yeah, thank you for my inheritance, and I will accept that, and I'll accept it gratefully that you let me choose. Okay. So I don't think there was any strife there. I think he just accepted it. Knowing his position and appreciating, and he probably showed him some kind of honor for that because Abraham went back to get him.
He did go back to get him. And that's, you know, we're getting really close to the Sodom and Gomorrah story here.
Yeah,
we're not there yet, but you know, maybe we'll get there next week. I don't know.
Let's see.
We shall see. Yeah.
We shall see.
Okay. Anyway, that was my big question there, David. So okay. You can go ahead with whatever you got left.
All right. So let me see. Here we are. So he's still Abram at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to Lot.
Well, look at Genesis 15. That's another one just popped out at me. Abram's descendants foretold to be strangers in a land for 400 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's another one of those God punishment situations, right?
I don't know if it is a punishment or if it's a time to build up the nation.
Oh, okay.
If
okay.
Would.
Okay.
So, and strangers might not be a bad thing because who was occupying the land? You got Rephaim, you know, so all these bad guys.
Right.
And it literally says, you know, basically, if you read the other books, again, it says all the earth was worshiping these pagan gods,
yes,
except for Abram.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, I should have remembered that. Okay, I'm with you.
So I think, you know, that's why they're strangers. It's just like, you know, today, you know, if I walk into a certain places here in the city, they would definitely look at me as a stranger. Mm-hmm. it's like, yeah. And they could tell, you know, when you're born again and you really love the Lord, that people could tell. Trust
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, you know, and if they know the Lord, they're like automatically they could tell your friends. Mm-hmm. And if they're like weird, they just kind of like.
That's correct.
Because, yeah, their demons could see my spirit and the big angels that are walking around me.
Yeah.
So, you could definitely tell the difference. And I think that's kind of the idea here. Mm-hmm. Is they're strangers, not in a bad way, but in the fact that the other people are bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another thing that comes up here, unless you want to go somewhere else,
forever to get there. So.
Okay.
An everlasting covenant.
The other one that I have was, again, I'll repeat this for probably the 80th time. I'm on a lot of Telegram channels. People keep sending them to me to join. Okay, well, this one was talking about circumcision. You know, I'm not gonna get into it for family reasons. But
describe that for us, would you?
But there was somebody on there actually went and said, where does it say that God commanded that? I mean, again, now this has got to be somebody that's never read the Old Testament.
Yeah, right? I mean,
it's just
duh.
So anyway, I just want to be clear for those people who happen to listen to us that are on those Telegram channels, that all you've got to do is look in the Bible and you will find it. And I'm trying to find the exact scripture. I should have written it down. But anyway, it just came up there. And I wanted to make sure, David, that you agree with me that this was a commandment from God. This is not something 100%. That was just all of a sudden decided that we were going to do that. Right.
Yeah, they didn't make it up, and it was specifically on the eighth day because.
Yeah. Again, I should have written down. While you're talking, I'll look it up.
Genesis 17.
Okay. While you're looking, I'm going to look it up. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's in Genesis 17. It said, "And God said to Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, and thou, and thy seed after thee in thy generations." So here's the covenant again. Mm-hmm. And this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you. And thy seed after thee. Mm-hmm. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Mm-hmm. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you.
Yep, and I found it.
That and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Mm-hmm. Every man in your generations. Mm-hmm. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant.
There's everlasting again.
Yep. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, for he has broken my covenant. Mm-hmm. Now, he mentioned that quite a few times. It's not like it's just off the cuff, if you
will. Which is why I kind of went to battle with this other guy. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, just block him. We aren't type of that.
Well, I try to hit him with scripture, David. Because scripture's hard to argue with.
They don't want to know.
Yeah, that's true.
That's standard.
True.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even heathens know that. You know, they're like, his clothes are so tight, I could tell his religion. You know, the jokes come out.
Yeah.
Everybody knows. So he's just being antagonistic at that point. Mm-hmm. He'd say, you know, things like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were smart. I have to go now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had one. What did he say? He had to go mow his yard. Yeah, that was it.
All right, you go with that one.
That was good.
All right. So we're getting into the section where he becomes Abraham.
You're getting real close.
Okay. Yeah. And that's in Genesis 17 here. Mm-hmm. And right after the circumcision thing. So you kind of led us right into it.
Cool.
And when he established a covenant, and when he established a covenant, that's when he said the circumcision. Mm-hmm. And Abraham was 90 years old and dying, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Mm-hmm. And I will make a covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, he's Abram until he's 99.
Yeah, and he still hasn't had it. Mm.
And, yeah, 99. Okay, so even, like, if Ishmael wanted to, you know, and all the Arabs wanted to, they can't even say they're a child of Abraham. Technically, they're a child of Abram.
Yeah, true. I never thought about that, but that's true.
Yeah. No, you're not a child of Abraham. You're a child of Abram.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it wasn't until Isaac that he changed his name to Abraham.
Right.
Abraham.
And when Sarai became Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, he added that H. An H in the, it's a hey, actually, and it's a symbol of someone praising in the ancient Hebrew letters. Is a praising and an open window. So praising him opens the windows of heaven kind of thing. So he turned Abram to Abraham, and it's also the breath of God. So there's a lot of pictorial stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So we really don't have time to open up another can of worms. We'll have to save
them for next
week.
We're going to open it up next week, that's for sure, because it's getting good now. I can hardly wait for next week.
It's getting good now. And it's like, and he thought he was old here, and then when Sarah dies at 125, so that means he's 127. So he's 137. Mm-hmm. And then he goes and has six more cats.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? So that must have been a young bride at that point, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
So she wasn't that old. But
wow.
Interesting to look at that and say, okay, let's work this one out. What's going on here? In the meantime, that's not necessarily the most important thing we need to know.
No, it's not.
The most important thing we need to know is that Jesus came and paid off your sins.
Amen.
You got to admit that. Okay, if you don't admit that, he's got nothing to forgive. You got to trust him. You actually have to believe in your heart, and that comes from like speaking it. So you need to confess it, because if you can't confess it, then it's not in your heart, and you don't trust him, and you don't trust the contract. But once a contract is signed and you agree to it, it's a given. It's a blood contract. It's the covenant that he has. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant.
Amen.
And it basically, when he was on the cross, he said, tetelestai, which is paid in full. So it's all paid in full, folks. Lord willing, you will join us when we are raptured. We'll see you guys on the next show. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. Remember, this program is only made possible by the support of people just like you. We receive no outside funding or corporate backing. Everything we do is sustained by those who believe in our mission to speak truth, stand boldly for Christ, and proclaim the gospel in these final days. Your partnership makes a real difference. A single monetary gift helps keep us on the air, while monthly and annual commitments give us the steady foundation to expand our outreach and reach more souls with God's word. You can also stand with us simply by shopping with our affiliate partners. That's just another way to ensure this ministry remains strong and uncompromised. To learn more or to join us as a partner, visit lastchristian.net. Again, that's lastchristian.net. Until tomorrow night, thank you, good night, and God bless.
If you are hungry to learn more about Bible scripture and wish to gain a greater insight into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you, then we invite you to join Dudley Anderson every evening for his internationally syndicated and powerful radio broadcast, Insight, a half-hour Bible talk show featuring renowned Bible teachers and guests, where faith meets clarity and God's truth meets everyday life. Each and every night, Dudley brings you fresh perspectives, biblical wisdom, and heart-stirring teaching. because the more we open Scripture, the more it opens for us. Insight, a part of his ministry at surereality.net, explores timeless truths and discovers the sure reality of Christ's love, hope, and purpose. Don't miss a single broadcast of Insight with Dudley Anderson, every night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio, where faith comes alive, one Bible verse and one exciting scripture at a time.